You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Balls, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on today's show. This is going to be a mailbag Friday. I'm going to answer some of your questions that you've sent in. A lot of them are on the offensive side. We have a big picture question looking at, okay, here we are, middle of year three, a different kind of year for sure. But with Jeremy Pruitt as the head coach, where do things stand on the offensive side of the ball with the program moving forward? We'll get to all of that. I'm going to work some recruiting talk into today's show as there's a big-time defensive lineman who will make his announcement on Friday. So we'll talk recruiting in the final segment. Eric Kane, my colleague at the Sports Animal, will weigh in as well. So I'll tell you about the prospect who will make his announcement. Tennessee is one of the finalists, as are a couple of SEC East teams. We'll get to all of that today on Locked On Vols. It's here 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And there's a lot to get to, even with this being an off week for Tennessee. Next week, we'll very much be focused on Arkansas. I want to tell you thanks for being here. I want to welcome new listeners. As the show this week, it's been trying to work through what's happened over the last few weeks, and I know it's been frustrating for Tennessee fans. The messages that I've received this week have shown that it's been frustrating, but I've also said that I think a lot of it is just an accumulation. It's not just the Alabama game on Saturday. It's not even just the Kentucky game the week before, and I don't even think if you're frustrated with Jeremy Pruitt that it's all about him, or if you're frustrated with me with some of the things that maybe I've said this past week on the show or on Sports 180. I think it's just that, it's been a long time for Tennessee fans. It's been a long time since Tennessee was really competing at the top of the SEC. In 2016, Tennessee was close. The Vols were undefeated through five games, and it looked like the Vols were on their way to winning the SEC East. But then they didn't, and then 2017 happened, and since then, Tennessee has been trying to climb its way back up to the top of the division, and it appears there's still some work to do. So I've said earlier in the week, I get the frustration, I understand the emotion, it should be there. That's a good thing that Tennessee fans still really care about the program and want to see better results. So let's get to the mailbag here, some questions that have been sent in over the last week and a half or so for the show. The first one comes from Bruce, and Bruce asks about the quarterback position and asks, is there a quarterback coach issue? And why are we still talking about issues with the position group? And Bruce, I think it's a good question, and it's worded right because a lot of the talk is around Jarrett Garantano, and he has not been as good as he had hoped or coaches had hoped, I know, to this point in the season or through his career. He's a fifth-year senior, all that stuff that goes into it. But there's also an issue with the position group. Tennessee has gone to Brian Maurer, and he showed flashes of ability last season, and he dealt with injury. I want to point that out. He's a true freshman. But we still have not seen that he can be a high-level player in the SEC. JT Shrout's in his third year, and he has definitely not shown that he can be a high-level player in the conference. Read Andy Staples' story from The Athletic earlier this week on Michael Penix. He helped lead Indiana back against Penn State. And if you look at Penix's stats against Penn State, they are not impressive. I'll go ahead and tell you that. I had a bunch of people tweet to me, why aren't you talking about his stats? Well, first of all, stats for one game, that's not going to be a big deal. The point was that he led Indiana back against a top 10 team. It was Indiana's first win against a top 10 opponent in 33 years. And Penix was great down the stretch. He had the game-winning two-point conversion, which was controversial. I'm not sure he got there. But Penix also started last year before an injury, and his stats were good last year. So if you want to look at numbers, overall, they've been pretty good. But the point would be that Penix was committed to Butch Jones, stayed committed to Tennessee after Jones was fired, and then Jeremy Pruitt came in, and at first was receptive to Penix and then pulled the offer in favor of signing JT Shrout, and that was just a mistake. Penix is better than Shrout, and they lost Adrian Martinez to Nebraska in that class. So that's part of the reason that Tennessee is in this position, is that I think recruiting has left some questionable decisions with evaluations in that 2018 class. And then the next year, I think Tennessee had a really good chance of getting Sam Howell, who ended up at North Carolina, and Tennessee ended up with Brian Maurer. Howell's the better player, at least has been to this point, and it's not particularly close. Now, Harrison Bailey's a true freshman on campus who's highly touted, and maybe at some point we see him playing meaningful snaps, not just at the end of a game. He got a lot of snaps in practice earlier this week, so did Brian Maurer, and I think that was to see, okay, if we do have to go away from Jarrett, who's our next guy? Because you have to plan for a couple of reasons. One, what if Jarrett's ineffective again? You might have to go to another position, or what if he gets hurt? That could happen, right? Well, who's the next guy? So I think that will be the battle to watch in the second half of the season, Brian Maurer versus Harrison Bailey. I suppose JT Shrout could get back into the mix. I don't think the coaching staff has a lot of confidence there. So to Bruce's question, why are we still having this conversation and what about the quarterback coaching position? Chris Winkie is the quarterback's coach. Jim Chaney is the offensive coordinator. To me, it's largely his responsibility. Jeremy Pruitt's the head coach, so for sure he's a part of this. But on the offensive side, the coaching side, Jim Chaney may not be the quarterback's coach. He's the OC making more than $1.5 million. His responsibility is getting good quarterback play, and he's not done it to this point. Jim Chaney, to this point, has not lived up to what I think a lot of people hope that he would with the offense. That can change over the course of the second half of the season, and it's not all about the quarterback position, but it starts there. They need to be better, more consistently up front, and they need more playmaking, especially on the outside. Let's see if that happens with some young wide receivers. But Bruce, to your question, I think the answer is mostly recruiting evaluations. Development has been an issue, but if they had Sam Howell, would the quarterback position look better developed? My answer is probably yes. Let's see what happens with Harrison Bailey and Brian Maurer as the season goes along, as at some point, my guess is that we will see one of them again. And Tennessee staff is hoping that Jarrett Garantano is a mix of what probably they saw against Alabama last week, where he did everything they asked, but also can go make plays like he did in the second half against Kentucky last year and against Missouri when he just lit up the Tigers. Let's see, against Arkansas, Barry Odom's the defense coordinator. He's done a really good job there so far this year. But last year, Barry Odom was the head coach at Missouri when Jarrett Garantano went nuts. Can we see more from Josh Palmer, Jalen Hyatt, and somebody else emerging at wide receiver? Bruce, I appreciate the question. The next question comes from Austin. Austin sent this one. It gave me a bit of a chuckle. Said, why do I feel better about Jeremy Pruitt compared to Butch Jones and Derek Dooley? When the numbers don't look great, why do I feel so much better about Tennessee's current head coach than the previous coaches? Maybe I'm delusional after years of torture by football. Austin, thanks again for the message. That gave me a laugh. That's part of what I was talking about a moment ago. It's probably felt torturous at times being a Tennessee fan, getting your hopes up, and then whatever has happened here over the last decade has happened. But why do you feel better about Jeremy Pruitt? Well, my first answer to that would be, well, he's the current coach, and you're hoping that things will work out, and you should. Another reason would be that Jeremy Pruitt knows football. Put him on the whiteboard, have him draw plays, look at schemes, watch film, evaluate players, talk about players' ability. You're going to take Jeremy Pruitt with most coaches, right? I would, at least. I think his football knowledge is terrific. But there is more to it than that. You have to run a program. You have to assemble a staff. And to this point, that's been questionable because we've seen so much change in the first 2.5 years, including a defensive line coach being fired just a couple of weeks ago. But why do you feel better about Jeremy Pruitt? I think it's because he knows football, and he has a lot of knowledge on that side of the ball. He has been known as a really good recruiter, and you're hoping that Tennessee will continue to recruit at a high level because he's done a good job there. They need to recruit at a higher level. They need to land more players like Henry To'oto'o. Amarius Mims a couple of weeks ago chose Georgia over Tennessee. Tennessee needs to win more of those battles. They've done well with Terrence Lewis in the current class, Cody Brown, Dylan Brooks, but they need more players like that. So I think you are justified, Austin, in feeling the way that you do, that, hey, things are going to work out for Jeremy Pruitt. Things just need to be better. They need to recruit at a higher level. They need to do a better job developing players. There is question about, okay, the strength program, is it where it needs to be? And I mean that literally. It's a question out there, and we'll see over the next year or two where things are. But your reason for believing in Jeremy Pruitt and still hoping that he can get things going in the right direction, I think is very justifiable as a Tennessee fan. I think that should be the case. Jeremy Pruitt just needs to prove to you that he will be able to do that. The next 5 games will give you probably a better sense of where things are. If Tennessee goes 2-3 or worse, you're probably not going to have the same feeling at the end of the season. If Tennessee can get to 3-2 or better, then you'll probably continue with that high level of confidence. 3-2 is my prediction for Tennessee in the second half of the season. We'll see if they can get there. Coming up next, I'll continue with the mailbag. One more question on a big picture look at Tennessee's program, and then what needs to happen with Tennessee football. Some recruiting talk, as well as one of those prospects I'm talking about that Tennessee needs to land. We'll make his announcement coming up on Friday. I'll get to that coming up next right here on Locked On Vols, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today presented by Built Go. You know the Built Bar. I actually just had a Built Bar order on Thursday. Very excited. I got a couple of boxes coming to the house. Built Go's terrific as well. I had a Built Go just a couple of days ago. Tuesday is the longest day of the week for me because I'm doing Locked On Vols, Locked On College Football, Sports 180. I have football futures on Tuesday nights on the Sports Animal. So the Built Go was great for me. It gives me the extra pick-me-up, the extra go to break through that wall that can easily happen, that can easily come up in the middle of an afternoon for me. And the Built Go is great because it's easy to take in a 1.5 ounce package. You can put it in your backpack, briefcase, on the go, your golf bag if you're having a big outing out and about. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, plus it's natural, so Built Go is better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. They have three delicious flavors. Peanut butter honey's my favorite. They have collagen protein in the Built Go that's fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work, beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. And when you go home after a long day at work, maybe you're hanging out Saturday watching some football, taking a load off, how about a cold Coors Light to get you through the game, to get you through the evening after that long day where you've been go, go, go all day long? If you want to sit back, relax, unwind, how about a cold Coors Light? It's literally made to chill. Coors Light from Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, and it's perfect for a moment to unwind. So think about when you get home, you crack open that Coors Light, you sit back, and you enjoy the game. Coors Light will help you do it. When it's time to unwind, choose a Coors Light. You want to hit the reset button? Choose the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. And remember, celebrate responsibly. One more question from the mailbag today, and you can always hit me up on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and ask me any questions, send me any comment that you have for the show. I always look forward to those and appreciate the interaction. I really do. This question comes from Kay, and it's not the most positive question, but Kay asks, so what would it take for Tennessee to pull the plug on Jeremy Pruitt? And I bring this up not to bring a negative tone to the show. I bring it up to stress that right now, Tennessee does not need that kind of change with the Tennessee football program, in my opinion. I know there is the thought that, well, if something's not going right, you need to pull the plug. Jeremy Pruitt actually said that, not in that exact phrasing, but talking about making a change with the defense coordinator. Look, if it's not working out, you need to go ahead and move on. And in general, I do think that that's right. But I think with Tennessee's football program, we are talking about way too big of a change if you are talking here in the third season with Jeremy Pruitt as the head coach about a coaching change. Just after what happened following the 2017 season, you had a coaching change after 2012, you had one after 2009. You know what's happened. Tennessee's program needs more stabilized recruiting. You need to continue to bring in talent. You need to continue to work on player development. Jeremy Pruitt probably needs to improve as a head coach. That probably does need to happen. I think it's fair to say that. But I would say absolutely the last thing Tennessee needs, unless it's unavoidable, is a coaching change, a head coaching change. Tennessee needs to stabilize the staff. Brock Huard was talking about that a couple of weeks ago when he spoke to the Knoxville Quarterback Club. There's been too much turnover with the coaching staff, and I largely agree with that. You can find Alabama with big changes every year, but that's Alabama with Nick Saban as the head coach. That's not where Tennessee is right now as a program. So if you want a literal answer, I guess the answer would be if Tennessee just completely plummets this season and goes like 1-4 in the second half, beating Vanderbilt, and every other game Tennessee just gets destroyed and recruiting starts falling apart and it's embarrassing behind the scenes. And I guess that's the answer. I don't think that's going to happen. Two, I don't think that making a change is what's in Tennessee's best interest. So I would be doing everything I can if I'm Philip Fulmer. Certainly if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you don't want to get fired. But if you're Philip Fulmer, you're doing everything that you can to avoid having to be in that situation. Because if that also happens, the Tennessee job is good in that it can pay a lot of money. You do have recruiting resources. You have huge support from the fan base, which is very passionate. But if Tennessee's making another change, I don't think that job is all that attractive. And if you're making that change, it's going to negatively affect recruiting. You worry about transfers as well, especially if the NCAA does kick in, which it's planning to, one-time transfers without having to sit out. I think you'd have a big exodus of the program. Recruiting would take a hit. And It would just be a huge setback. So the best thing for Tennessee football is for what we've seen the last few weeks and what's gone on at times here in the last 2.5 years, losses to Georgia State and BYU and some effort issues at the end of season one, that's put behind Tennessee, and that you do have the buy-in, that you do get quarterback development, which we talked about in the last segment, that you get better, more consistent play along the lines of scrimmage. And if that happens, then I think everything else can kind of fall in line. That means you're probably going to be a deeper football team because you create more competition in practice. And if Tennessee has more success on the field, you continue recruiting well, and then those players should develop once you get them on campus and you try to hit the ground running in 2021. So there is an answer to where Tennessee would have to make a change, but also I haven't even brought up the financial impact. I mean, it would just be a disaster for Tennessee, which is currently having to deal with budget cuts, to then have to fire Jeremy Pruitt, who has a massive amount of money remaining on his contract. That would be awful for Tennessee to have to do after just having given a buyout to Butch Jones and to John Curry and everything else that they've had to deal with, to then have to do that with Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney. You know, it's not going to be free to move on from him, which Tennessee would probably be doing. So my answer is you don't want that to happen. It would be bad. And if you're frustrated with Jeremy Pruitt, if you heard me give out records earlier in the year or the number of games that Tennessee has been blown out, I did that to show, hey, this is where things are. This is what Tennessee needs to overcome. Here's kind of a reality check to what's going on with Tennessee's program. That was not to say that Jeremy Pruitt cannot succeed at Tennessee. That was not to say that Jeremy Pruitt will not get it done at Tennessee. I don't know. Going back to Austin's question in the first segment, why do I feel better about Jeremy Pruitt than Butch Jones and Derek Dooley? I gave an answer there. I don't know if he's going to be better. I think that Jeremy Pruitt's football knowledge, his X's and O's skills, is better than Butch Jones and Derek Dooley. I say that without any kind of hesitation. But do I know that he's going to be better at running a football program? Do I know that everything that goes into the job is going to be done at a higher level than Jeremy Pruitt, than the previous coaches? No, I don't. I mean, the results to this point favor Butch Jones in the head-to-head conversation in a lot of ways. But we also know how it turned out with Butch Jones. We don't know that yet with Jeremy Pruitt. And the best thing, I think, for Tennessee football is that it works out for Jeremy Pruitt. I think off the field, he's done an overall really good job of handling everything. It's been a complicated 2020, has it not? I think Jeremy Pruitt's done a good job with it. He's probably done a better job of handling everything than I would have anticipated going on. If I knew what he was going to face, I would have said, you know, most coaches probably are going to be challenged with that. I think he's done a good job. Now you get to the football side. You need the results. He said that on Wednesday. That was good. His comment after the game on Saturday was probably not timed well. But on Wednesday, he pointed to the scoreboard and said, that's the most important thing. That needs to be better. And he's absolutely right. He knows that. Everybody knows it. Philip Fulmer, you, me, we all know. Tennessee needs better results on the scoreboard. They're going to try that against Arkansas. If Tennessee gets the win there, the mood lifts. Tennessee's probably playing a little bit better. And then see where you are in the final four games. That's the important thing for Tennessee. The big picture look still needs to be about what can happen in the future, and maybe expectations change a little bit, which you don't really want, but maybe that's the case. Maybe that's what needs to happen for the Vols, but the last thing they need is a coaching change. They need more talent. So coming up, I'll tell you about the prospect who will announce his decision on Friday, and you'll hear a little bit from Eric Kane of the Sports Animal on how Tennessee has done recruiting along the defensive line. That's coming up next, right here on Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tyrion Ingram Dawkins is set to make his college decision and announce it on Friday. And this is going to be a big announcement. He is a highly touted prospect from Gaffney, South Carolina. Tennessee is one of four finalists. South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina are also in the picture here. And by the time you listen to this, you might know his decision. But Ingram Dawkins is planning to enroll early, so he'll be on a college campus coming up in a little more than 2 months. He's a 6'5", 298-pound prospect, according to 247, which ranks him as the number 5 defensive tackle in the country. The composite ranking has him as the number 14 defensive tackle in the country. Both have him as the number 1 prospect in South Carolina. So he's a top 15 to 20 defensive tackle anywhere you look. I think Rivals has him in the top 20. Top 200 player overall. He's a big-time player. Tennessee needs more help up front. The Vols landed Amari Thomas in last year's class, and he's a guy to pay attention to maybe as this season goes along, a well-thought-of defensive lineman from the Memphis area. But as Tennessee's trying to build moving forward, Tennessee needs more help up front. Tennessee has, from the 2020 class on campus, Dominique Bailey. And then for 2021, Tennessee has Catron Evans committed. Isaac Washington is a guy that Tennessee really likes, and they've been able to hold on to him. But Tennessee wants to add more help up front. And I had a chance on Football Futures earlier this week to talk to Eric Kane, who I work with at the Sports Animal, and he does some work from VolQuest.com as well. And he's talked to Isaac Washington and Catron Evans recently. So I talked to him about that. Tennessee's recruiting along the defensive line, which I think is a big priority still. It should be every year, right? But you also have the firing of Jimmy Brumbaugh a couple of weeks ago, which could affect things along the defensive line. Here's what Eric Kane said when I first asked him about how things have gone for Tennessee up front, especially with those guys who are currently committed.
Yeah, so far so good, Josh. And, you know, as soon as Brumbaugh was fired, I think I reached out to Washington, you know, maybe that next morning and said, hey, I'd love to talk to you if you have any time. And so I got in touch with him later that night, I guess Monday night of last week. And he said, yeah, I'm not going to lie. You know, this happened to me before. And if we recall, the last time this happened, when Tracy Walker left and went to South Carolina, Washington decommitted there for a minute. But as soon as he got in person and met Jimmy Brumbaugh, he went ahead and affirmed his commitment, and he was all good. So he was decommitted there for maybe a couple of weeks, but jumped back on board pretty quickly. So I think a lot of Tennessee fans feared the worst again, that he could do that again. And he even sent out a tweet Monday morning and, you know, saying, no, not again. You know, what is going on here? But basically, you know, Isaac Washington said, hey, I was in my mind a little bit. I didn't want this to happen again. But Jeremy Pruitt and Derek Ansley called me quickly, and they're like, hey, it's okay. And, you know, it's all right. It's nothing personal. This is just business. Everything's okay. You know, we need you. We want you. And so I think that was a good message from Pruitt and Ansley to go ahead and, you know, send out, you know, an immediate call to a guy that they want. I mean, they really, really want on the defensive line. And so I thought that was pretty neat. I spoke to Catron Evans later, maybe a day later or so. And it's interesting. He said he didn't find out about the firing of Jimmy Brumbaugh until probably Tuesday morning. I mean, it was a little later because the news came about this late Sunday night. And he said a fan asked him on Twitter what he thought about Jimmy Brumbaugh, and he didn't understand. He didn't know. And then later he kind of got an understanding. And so when I had talked to him about Tuesday early afternoon, he said that he had a scheduled meeting with Jeremy Pruitt and Derek Ansley later that night, and that they were going to talk to him as well. But I got to him before the coaches did, and he said, hey, I'm all good. Nothing's changing. I'm committing to a school. I'm committing to a head coach. You know, I like Jimmy Brumbaugh. We were building a good relationship, but I'm still 100% committed to Tennessee, and we're all good. So far, so good on that front as far as the interior defensive lineman that Tennessee has committed to this 2021 class, and Isaac Washington and Catron Evans.
How important is recruitment at that position? Just the whether it's those guys or, you know, Tyrion Ingram Dawkins is going to make his announcement. Tywan Malone's a player they're recruiting, getting some help along the defensive front in this 2021 class.
I think it's big. I mean, look at how Tennessee's playing at that position right now. Yep. It's not really good. And I know that these guys are, you know, a couple years away from making an impact, and I understand that. But anytime you want to always be strong and stable in the trenches, obviously. I mean, that's where football is won. That's kind of a football 101. And so you always want to make sure you have options there at the defensive line spot and the offensive line spot. But, you know, these guys are versatile. They can play different techniques. The athletic ability is something Jeremy Pruitt likes from these guys, specifically Isaac Washington. I have a little bit better relationship with him than I do Catron Evans. I've just spoke to him more, but it's very important. And so, keeping these guys held on, I think, was very important. Because Tennessee does not want to have to go into, I don't want to say scramble mode, because we're still a little far ways from the start of early, signing period, that time when you can sign. But still, you want to stay committed with your guys and continue building that relationship. And so far, so good.
You'd like to hear that. That was Eric Kane on Football Futures earlier this week on the Sports Animal, talking about Tennessee's recruiting on the defensive line. We'll see what happens with Tyrion Ingram Dawkins on Friday. I will tell you that things have been trending a little bit toward Georgia with some of the prognosticators out there. And Georgia obviously has done well in recruiting. So adding another piece would be good for the Bulldogs and something that Tennessee would not like to see. So Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, Tywan Malone is another defensive lineman to pay attention to in Maryland, as the Vols will continue to try to bolster the play up front on the defensive line. Again, for the future, who knows with eligibility, as players will have an opportunity to come back. So that is something that could help Tennessee with the NCAA freezing eligibility for this year, guys who are gaining experience and playing right now could have a chance to return. But we also know Tennessee wants to add more talent and more size up front. That's something that they are working to do. It is an off weekend for Tennessee, so it gives you an opportunity to look at other SEC games or college football games if you're interested. I will run through the SEC schedule real quick before I head out. At noon on Saturday, Georgia will be playing in Lexington against Kentucky. The big 3:30 game is LSU at Auburn. At 4 o'clock, you have Ole Miss at Vanderbilt. 7 o'clock on Saturday night, you have Alabama at home against Mississippi State. Bama's a monster favorite, over 30 points against Mississippi State. And then at 7:30, you have Florida at home against Missouri, and maybe this one will be of greater interest to you, Arkansas against Texas A&M. Those are Tennessee's next two opponents. Next week, Tennessee goes to Arkansas. The week after that, Tennessee will host Texas A&M. So if you're interested in that game, it'll be at 7:30 on Saturday night on the SEC Network, Arkansas at Texas A&M. I appreciate you being here today. I want to say thanks to everybody who has left a rating and review for the show on Apple Podcasts. It's a big help. It's helped spread the word to other Tennessee fans. I also saw earlier this week that a FeedSpot ranking had Locked On Vols as the top Tennessee Vols podcast, which is just so cool. I really do appreciate you being here and hanging out with me on the show. And I know that times are kind of tough for Tennessee football right now, but doing the show every day and being able to talk to you about what's going on with UT football, basketball a little bit as well with the season starting up means a lot. So seeing that number one ranking on the FeedSpot ranking of Tennessee Vols podcast was really cool, and I really do appreciate it. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for hanging out here. Starting Monday, we'll look ahead to the rest of the season. We'll look ahead to the Arkansas game next Saturday, and we'll cover anything else that is going on. Enjoy your weekend. I'll see you on Monday right here on Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.